Praise the Lord for that. Our missionary families will be getting in Saturday evening for orientation. Saturday morning, we're going to have three meetings that some of you will be a part of, and so I want you to note that it's because it's the second Saturday morning, we'll have our pastors' meeting, and we'll have our mentorship meeting and our pastors and deacons meeting Saturday morning. Pastors' meeting, 8 o'clock, and this is a change. Our pastors and deacons meeting will be at 9 rather than 10 because we're switching it around with the mentorship meeting, so you please keep that in mind. We'd like to encourage you to be a part of the mentorship meeting. Bring your son, 7th grade and up, and as you've heard Pastor David talk, it's going to be different things. This week we're going to be talking about, Pastor David's going to be talking about outreach, the importance of personal soul winning. And so I trust that you'll be here for that meeting, and pastors and deacons be here for the 9 o'clock meeting, and then the pastors will meet at 8. 2 Thessalonians, if you take your Bible and open there. Brother Barry, I appreciate you saying something about Brother Sammy Allen's homegoing. You please pray for the family. I'm not much on social media, but I've seen where a lot of people have said that Brother Sammy impacted their life, and Brother Sammy's impacted my life. When I was first called to preach, Brother Sammy was preaching a revival meeting at the church that Sharon and I was attending, and I went to him and I spoke with him about my call to preach and about what my next steps would be, and he prayed with me. And when he said, there's two schools in the area. And he asked me a couple of questions, and then we got down and prayed. And when we got up, he said, not a doubt in my mind, it's God's will for you to go to Tabernacle. One of a kind, Brother Sammy, one of a kind. And I went to Tabernacle, and I've never regretted it. I've never regretted it. The other choice was Bob Jones, and I've never regretted it. And so thank God for good, godly wisdom. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, are you there? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Stand if you would, we'll read the first three verses. I want to talk with you tonight, preach to you about how to pray for missionaries. You say, well, I know how to pray for missionaries. Well, God bless you. Well, let me give you some more specific ways, or give you something to add to that arsenal, okay? Here's a missionary, the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary outside the Lord Jesus Christ ever to live. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to it. I believe the Bible would back up a lot of it, maybe all of it. What a great missionary the Apostle Paul was. What a great team that he formed under God's leading, and what a great work he did. I'm not really sure of these numbers that I'm getting ready to give you. If you want to search them out, you do so. I've read some material by people who do geographic measures and of travel, and they say that when you scope the places and do the GPS, if you will, the travels of the Apostle Paul, he traveled over 1,400 miles on his first missionary journey, 2,800 on his second, 2,700 on his third. Now, that's a lot of traveling, even if he'd just done some of it. In his 35 years of ministry, approximately, some people believe that he traveled about half the distance of around the world. No car, no train, no plane, just a boat and two legs. But he had a fire in his bosom. And he had a God that was giving him directions, and he reached a lot of people. You're standing here tonight because God saved a man on the road to Damascus and send him to the Gentiles. You never know what God's going to do with one man, do you? You never know. Paul realized, though, that it wasn't about him. And he realized that it was about us. Us. We're a team. Notice what Paul says here as he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, which you can go back in Acts 17 and find out how this church was started. It's a tremendous, tremendous read in Acts 17 of how Paul passed through Thessalonica and started this work. Here in 2 Thessalonians, his second letter to this group, he writes this, finally, brethren, pray for us. You know, it's always about us with him. And here he is, he's imploring upon more. He's building a prayer team. He said, listen, we need prayer. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now we'll end our reading there, and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God, and we pray that you would help us as we look into your word tonight and give us a heart to be more in prayer for your servants, for the men and the families that you call to spread and propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us where we've failed to pray for our brethren as we should, and we're sorry. And God, we ask you that you would just move in our hearts in such a way that we would realize the importance of praying one for another, especially those that are involved in the missionary work. I pray that we would learn some things from your word tonight, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to my heart again and to the hearts of your people about the all-important matter of praying for our missionary brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. As I look at these scripture, I want you to go to notice as we navigate through this, I want you to notice what Paul is doing here. The word finally, when Paul uses this word, I don't want you to get the idea, and Paul's getting ready to talk about the importance of partners, of being partners. We talk about that here at the church when missionary families come through, when missionary revival comes around, and when we have those that come and they visit with us and they present their burden. We talk about partnering with them, being a partner with them, wherever they're going, to help them, to aid them. Certainly, and you've already received the card. You've heard that, okay? And I think I may, let's see. I have Brother Craig's card right here. And I think that you have received the faith promise giving card. And if we're not careful, here's what will happen. And I do not want to minimize the importance of giving to Faith Promise Mission. See, I believe everybody not only could give, I believe everybody should give to Faith Promise Missions. It's something that everyone can be a part of. A child, a teenager, an adult, every person can be a part of Faith Promise Missions. It's not about equal giving. I believe it's about equal sacrifice. It's just where you pray, and God, He'll just tell you what to give, and God will supply the need. I believe that. Now, that's what that card's for. It's not for us to know. That's between you and God. You give what God lays on your heart. And then, as we've already heard tonight, you trust God to provide the need, and God will provide the need, and you just keep giving, and God will just keep providing. Amen? Amen. But you know, there's another aspect. There's another card. These are called prayer cards. I don't think I've ever heard a missionary call this card anything other than that. This is a prayer card. It's a missionary that is placing an emphasis on, hey, remember me. Remember my family. Remember us in prayer. Yes, we need your support. It's God's way. It's God's way to support missionary endeavor through the local church. But it's also God's way. Here's Paul. Here's Paul. And listen, you could go in the scripture and you could find Paul. He's asking for people to give. 2 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 16, Philippians chapter 4, he's asking people to give monetarily, okay? He's asking people to give monetarily to support the mission projects. But here's Paul asking for what these missionaries ask for when they hand you one of these or you pick up one of these. They're saying, pray for us. This is not just a card so you can know what the missionary looks like when they walk in the front door or try to get them to know them by name. Nothing would be wrong with that. But notice what Paul was saying here. He's saying, finally. Please don't think that he's saying, oh, and by the way, let me just throw this little tidbit in there. I almost forgot it because it's not important. That's not what he's saying. He said, I have a final issue of importance that I need to speak. He said, I would be remiss to close this letter. The Spirit of God has prodded me in my heart to implore you to pray for us. Now I want you to notice what he's doing. He said, finally, brethren, we're in this together. We're saved. We're part of the same family. We've all been saved. We've all been commissioned to do God's work. God left us here for a purpose. And the purpose is to do his work. Now, your part of the work may be different than my part of the work. But God uses us as a team. And Paul is saying, we need you. See, God may not call you to go outside of the United States. He might not even call you to go outside of your county. I don't know. But God will use you to win souls wherever you go. We talked about it Sunday night. And God will use you to pray for others. And here's Paul saying, finally, brethren. He said, as a last word of importance, he said, it is important that you pray. And we're going to see why in just a moment. See, we're talking about families that are going to areas, different culture. And there's sometimes these families face, listen, it's culture shock. Sometimes there's language barriers and they have to learn language. Sometimes, there's a lot of demonic activity, a lot of spiritism, a lot of tradition, a lot of religion. Now, I realize more and more of that has come into our country. But you listen, we think our country's in a mess. And by the way, we don't have to think our country's in a mess. It is. Amen. Our country's in a mess. But can I tell you, America's not the only country in a mess. This world is crumbling, brethren. It's crumbling. There is spiritualism. There is demonic activity. Satan is the god of this world, and he's having his way with the world. But I've got news for him, and I've got good news for you. Greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. Brethren, we are more than victors. We are made to triumph in Jesus Christ. Jesus wins, brethren. Say, brother, I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. You ever had somebody walk up to you and say that? I don't know what the world's coming to. I don't know how this thing's going to turn out. I do. Jesus wins. Amen. Jesus wins. That's how it's going to turn out. But for now, we've been called to fight the good fight of faith. And a good soldier fights the good fight of faith on his knees. Say amen with me. Amen. We need to get to praying. Praying is where it's at. Please don't think, I don't want to minimize the importance of you following as God lays upon your heart and as God lays upon my heart, the importance of financially giving to finance missionary endeavors around the world. That's God's way. I'm not minimizing that at all. I'm just saying, something of a greater importance is to pray. See, every need could be met financially. But if a wall is not built, and we'll see here in just a moment, that's what Paul is praying for. If a wall of protection, if a wall of meeting the need, if a wall of opening the doors of opportunity, of a wall of defeating the adversaries that are there that confront these men and women. Listen, brethren, if we don't pray and if God doesn't get involved, victory will not be won. And if victory is not be won, so souls will be lost. And so Paul said, finally, brethren, pray for us. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? But I got to tell you, my prayer life is the most fought aspect of my Christian experience. When I get ready to pray and to get into my prayer closet, when I get ready to talk to God, when I get ready to get alone with the Lord, it's a battle. It's a battle in my mind. It's a battle in my heart. It's a battle in my body. How about you? It's real. It is a spiritual warfare. And the only way this war is going to be won is on our knees. There are men, women, boys, and girls. We will hear this coming week. Listen, as we sit here, there are people that they're searching. They're searching. A lot of times we hear about the people that try to run the missionaries off, and it's real, brethren. It's real. We hear about those that are a part of religion and part of demonic activity of spiritualism and all matters of religion and tradition, and they don't want the missionary to come and they want to run them off. But can I tell you what we also need to keep in mind, while that is real and we need to pray, there's also people that are searching. They're hungry. They're looking for someone. They're looking for something that's going to fill a void in their heart, that's going to fill an emptiness in their soul. And we know who the answer is. It's Jesus. And these men have the answer. These families are taking the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to pray for them. Paul said, as I travel about now, Paul said, as I'm about doing God's work, brethren, pray for us. Can I encourage you to pray for missionaries? Can I encourage you to do that? How am I to do that, preacher? Oh, I don't know. Listen, you're going to be getting a book this week, as we do every missions conference, and it'll have every missionary family that we support and those that'll be with us as our guest. Whether you set aside 3 a day, 6 a day, 12 a day, whatever you choose to do, can I encourage you, just like you will prayerfully consider what God would have you to give to world evangelism and faith promise giving, would you pray for these missionary families? If we're not careful now, we'll give X amount a week or a month, whatever we settle between us and God that God wants us to give, and we'll feel as though, well, that, and maybe I'll shoot them an email around Christmas time, or we'll take up something to give to them in a special need, and our duty is done. We need to pray for them regularly. Please, I implore, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to you. Let's pray for our missionaries. It's very, very important. The work of God will not, listen, it will not go forward as it could go forward without the prayers of God's people. Amen? Amen. Finally, brethren, here's a man that was a powerful preacher. Here's a man that was steadfast. Here's a man that had the power of God. He had boldness, holy boldness. But here he's bearing his soul. And he's saying, church, pray for us. Don't forget to pray for us. Paul wasn't afraid to ask for offerings. Listen, Paul, he said, not that I desire a gift. You know what he wrote over in Philippians chapter 4. You know Paul's heart in that matter. And here's Paul saying, we need you to pray. Finally, brethren, I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for me. Missionaries are counting on us to pray for them. They're away from home. They're away from family. They're away from a lot of things that are familiar. They do not have, many of them, do not have a church like you have to come to on a Wednesday night like this. Many of them will be them and their family. Them and their family and maybe a three people or a half a dozen people. Could be that way for 6 months. It may be a year. That doesn't mean they're not doing God's work. It just means that it's slow there and the devil, that he's entrenched in that area. And we need to pray that God would break up that hard ground and those hard hearts. We need to pray. How can I pray, preacher? Well, someone said a few years ago as I was reading something that was very interesting to me. Said, when you pray for your missionaries, think of the word bless. B, pray for their body. They have physical needs. Missionaries have physical needs. We've heard from Brother Shoemaker as he come and he told us about the times that he had malaria. There are missionaries who get sick because of diseases and different things that their bodies are adjusting to when they're in the field of service that God's called them to, typhoid, and the list goes on. Pray that God would protect them physically and that he would strengthen them physically that they could do the work that God has sent them there to do. Amen. Pray for them physically. B, L, pray for their labor, their work. It's hard here sometimes. Sometimes these folks go, listen, people, we've heard missionaries say that when they go, I remember a man that went to Japan, and he said that when he got there, he was shocked at how many people were open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was shocked until he found out they were pantheistic people. They believed that Jesus was just one of many gods. And so they accepted Jesus and kind of, you know, like he was a god that they would put on the shelf with their other 15, 20, 25, 30 gods. It's Jesus plus nothing. It's not Jesus and Buddha. It's Jesus or Buddha. You listening? Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way. You don't put Jesus in your choice of gods. He is God alone, you see. And when they go and they preach that message, many people will immediately turn them off. And so we need to pray for their work, that God would give them open doors of opportunity. Hold your place and turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 just for a moment. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul mentioned that. In 1 Corinthians 16, he mentioned the importance as he was writing the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth. He said this. He said, but I will tarry in verse number 8. He said, but I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. Well, isn't that something? Paul said, God's then opened some doors. Some people were praying and God opened doors. And Paul said, this is the time I'm going to strike while the iron is hot. And he said, and there are many adversaries. Right? So when the missionary writes the letter and Brother David stands up here and he reads the letter and it says we had this many to get saved or we had so many opportunities to witness, don't think that that came without adversaries. Don't think that that came without a fight, without prayer, without somebody getting on their face before God and saying, God, open the doors for these folks as they go and they preach the gospel. So pray for, number one, their bodies. B, turn back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Pray for their labor. Pray for their labor. Pray for their work, that God would give them open doors of opportunity, effectual doors, that they would be able to spread and share the gospel of Jesus Christ through the different avenues that God could use them while they're there on the field. Then thirdly, E, emotional. As I mentioned to you earlier, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of culture changes and a lot of traditions and ceremonial rites that these folks face when they go there. And it can be an emotional drain, especially on the women and children. Especially. Now, I'm not saying that men don't face it too. But you pray for them. It's an emotional time. So you don't know what it is, some of you don't, to be away from your family for a month or 6 months or a year or 3 years or 4 years. And they get to come home for a short furlough and go back. I realize it's what God's called them to do. And I know that God's grace is sufficient. But brethren, just because God calls us to do something and just because God's grace is sufficient doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that we don't need to pray and ask God to empower and to help and to strengthen them in every aspect of their being. So be for their body, that God would just take care of them physically and keep them from sickness. Give them strength that they could go out and do the work that God's called them to do. L, for their labor, the work that God is doing through them, that He would prosper it and give them open doors of opportunity. E, their emotional state, that God would keep them strong and focused. They would stay focused. A lot of unrest around our world today. And you know, no matter where you go, I don't know, there's a lot of jealousy and a lot of hate toward America and Americans. And our missionary brethren face it in many parts of our world. And so you pray for them. And then S, they're social. A lot of strain on the social life of missionaries while they're away from their family. And they're doing the work of God. They're faced every day with a lot of danger many times. It could put a strain on a marriage. It could put a strain on a parent and child relationship. And so you pray for them socially. Also pray for them socially that God would help them befriend people. You know, many times in order to win many of these people, they're very leery of Americans and newcomers, and so they have to befriend them before they can ever have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. By the way, that works here in America too. Amen? Amen? Amen. Yeah. You say, well, I witnessed to a guy one time preacher and he didn't get saved, so I gave up. Oh, I hope that's not your story. You may have to show that person you're real. You may have to show that person that your God is worth serving, that He's made a difference in your life. You may have to show that person that you genuinely love Him and that He's not just a number on your board that you're going to check off and go back to church and say, "Won somebody to Jesus." See, people are leery. And it takes some time. You can't sow and water and reap in one day. Right? And so pray for their social life. Then finally, their spiritual. A lot of spiritual. B-L-E-S-S. The last S is spiritual. A lot of spiritual warfare on the mission field. A lot of it. They're fighting the devil. They're fighting the flesh. Right? They're fighting tradition. They're fighting sometimes the government to keep their visas, to keep their church open. Some of them have to go underground. So pray for them. So Paul said this. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us. And so I just really want to impress on your heart to ask God, God, how could I pray more for our missionary brethren? Would you do that? Would you make that a matter? You say, preacher, I already have so many things to pray about. Don't we all? Don't we all? But brethren, don't let the devil now discourage you. Don't let the devil get the victory in this area. If you have to just set aside one day to pray for missionaries, just pray for, I don't know how God would lead you to do it. You say, I'm just going to pray for all of them. I'm going to choose Tuesday's going to be my pray for missionary day. Well, if that's what God lays on your heart, then that Tuesday will be your pray for missionary day. You may choose so many families a day. I find that that's the way that God helps me to keep it on my mind. I'm forgetful. I might forget from Tuesday to Tuesday. I like to keep things fresh on my mind. So you do what God lays on your heart. All right? But pray. Now here's some specific ways. Some ways maybe outside of, this is what Paul asked for. Paul got specific. Notice what he said. He said, finally. Again, I can't emphasize to you that Paul's not saying, oh yeah, let me throw this last little thing in. He said, this is a final matter of importance. There is some strength in the word finally there. All right, Paul, this was Paul's key word. He used this often in his writings. Finally, brethren, saved people, we're family. I need you to pray for me, he's saying. Pray for us. See the word pray? It's a word that Paul uses many times with the word supplication. Now I want you to listen to me. When Paul was writing here, he said, I need you to supplicate for me. The word supplicate comes from, it's a word that we use the same word supply. It meets needs. So what is Paul saying? He said, I'm a needy person. Don't think because I'm successful and God's used me and souls are being saved and churches are being planted. Don't you read that I have no needs. I have many needs. I'm needy. I'm a needy person. We're all needy people. And Paul said, pray. Supplicate, supply. There's needs. There's needs that need to be supplied if God's work is going to be done. And the only way that that's going to happen is if we get on our face before God and say, God, meet the needs of our missionary brethren. Meet the needs. And we hear it every time. I can't tell you, almost every letter that comes across this pulpit is supplicate. Here's a need. To the point sometimes there would be maybe somebody, and I don't think it'd be anyone here tonight, I don't know, but I hope not, that you'd say, I'll tell you right now, missionaries, they're always asking for needs. You know why? They're needy people, just like you, just like me. We're all needy people. Amen? We're all needy people. These people on a foreign land doing God's work, and they need God's people to help meet the need because God's chosen that it be that way. Pray. Supplicate. There's a need. Ask God to supply it. Go boldly and say, God, supply this family's need. You have it. God, supply it. Show yourself strong and supply that need. See that word for there? It's very interesting. It's like a wall. Supply a wall. Pray for us. Build a wall of prayer. A wall of protection. A wall. It's almost like when Elisha was there on Mount the Mount and the servant was so shaky, and he said, oh my goodness, we're in trouble. Look at him. And Elisha prayed and said, God, supplicate, meet, supply the need by opening this man's spiritual eyes and let him see what I see. And he looked and he saw a great host of chariots of fire. Amen. And he said, greater are they that's with us than they are with them. Right. Amen. A wall, brethren, a wall of protection, of safety. And so Paul was saying in this, finally, brethren, pray for us. Put a wall of protection. Ask God to show himself strong on our behalf. And he said the reason being is not so we could just go and make a name for ourselves, not so we can go and say, well, Paul's done it again. Paul and that missionary team then started another church. They've done it again. Notice what he said. He said, I'm asking you to do this that the word of the Lord may have free course. Amen. What are you saying, Paul? He said, there's a lot of lost people out there. I could go into some background here, and we have before, and you know what this means when it says the word of the Lord may have free course, that it may continue to run, all right? That it may freely get to where it needs to get, that we will stay on the run, that we won't bog down, that we won't get hindered by Satan. Oftentimes when Paul would write, he would say, I intended to come to you, but I was hindered by Satan. The work of God can be hindered. And Paul said, you pray for us. You pray that needs would be met. A wall would be built around us, brethren. Pray for us. And he said, pray that would happen so that the word of the Lord. What a wonderful thing that Paul is asking here. By the way, I wouldn't have any confidence, and I'll say this. We have a guest missionary brother here, but I think I can say this with confidence. Going to say it anyway. And I don't mean that in any way disrespectful. A man that will not go and preach the word of the Lord, I want to have nothing to do with his ministry. Amen. Brethren, we're not going over there to westernize people. You think I care if they wear a shirt and tie? Well, they don't dress like us, preacher. Well, you know, it's probably because they're of a different culture. Amen. Amen. We're not going there to make Americans out of them. We're going there to get to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ so they can be saved in the grace of God. Amen. I'm not opposed to humanitarian need, digging wells, fresh water, all of that. But listen, that's secondary things. The primary purpose, Paul said it right here, look at it. He said that the word of the Lord may have free course. Not some social or some political, not even some personal ideology. The word of the Lord. Paul said, I'm going to preach the word. Amen? I'm going to preach the word. And he preached the word all while he was alive. And when he got ready to pass off the scene, he said, now, Timothy, you preach the word. You preach the word. May the word of God keep going forth. Amen. Preach the word. Why? Because that's what convicts the hearts of sinners and converts the souls of unregenerate men. Preach the word. That the word of the Lord may have free course. Just keep running. Why? Time is short. Time is short. Isn't it, brethren? Jesus is coming soon. We don't know. We don't know what moment Jesus is coming, and we don't know when the people that these men and families are going to preach to, when their number is up. So Paul said, I've got to get to them. So pray that they wouldn't be hindrances, and pray that we could stay focused on what God sent us there to do, and not get entangled in different affairs of the countries and the places in which God sends us. Paul was very personal about this. And I pray that we would just really learn what it is. God, help us now. Help us to remember there's a lot going on the mission field. There's a lot of things that these families face. And help us to be a blessing to them. And help us to be their prayer partner. Yes, we want to join with them and be partners as they carry the gospel message that they've been commissioned and that we've been commissioned to carry throughout the world. We want to partner with them. We want to partner with them financially, but we also want to pray for them. We want to pray for them. He said, now I want this to happen, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Paul said, I want to stake my flag in the devil's territory. Amen? The word of the Lord. Putting the flag of the word of God, the Bible, the name of Jesus. We're going to the devil's backyard and we're planting a flag. Amen? We're going on enemy territory. And we're preaching the gospel. We're carrying the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, pray now. If you pray, he said, it'll happen. He said that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Not that he would receive the glory, Not that his team would receive the glory, not even that those that were supporting financially would receive the glory, but that the word of the Lord, and I like what he said after this, he said, even as it is with you. Amen. He said, you know how the word of God made a difference in your life? He said, it'll make a difference in their life too. Don't you ever doubt, brethren, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. It changes lives. Amen. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of those folks over there, they're mixed up in all kinds of things, just like a lot of us folks over here. Amen. Yeah. But can I tell you that the same God, the same Bible, the same gospel can do over there what it did in your heart, in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls over there. Don't you ever doubt the power of Almighty God and the Word of the living God. It is powerful. It is powerful. It has been tried over and over again and proven. Tried and proven is this old book. Amen, brethren? Amen. He said, so pray for us. Pray for us. Finally, he said this, and we'll close. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. What are you saying, Paul? He said, well, I'm praying this. He said, I want you to pray about the proclamation of the message. You see that in verse 2? That's basically what he's saying. That the message, the proclamation of the message, that the word of the Lord may have free course. He said, that's the most important thing. That the message goes out. Why? Paul said, I know what that word can do. I know what God's word can do. And brethren, I hope you do. I know in my heart God's made it just as real to me. There is absolutely no heart that God cannot change through his word. I have absolute confidence in this book right here. Amen? Absolute confidence in the word of God. So that the proclamation of the message, he said, I can't tell you how important it is. Can't tell you how important it is. And then second of all, for the protection, in verse number 2, look what he said, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith, for the protection of the messengers. Not only the proclamation of the message, but the protection of the messengers. A lot of these men, just as in Paul's day, put themselves in harm's way by preaching the word of God. I mentioned to you Sunday night how that Paul had to be let down out of a basket in Damascus. He was stoned and drug outside the city of Lystra for dead. He was beaten and thrown into prison in Philippi. You read in 2 Corinthians how Paul, I mean, he faced a lot of trials and sorrows, beatings, and he'd just go back into town and preach again. Because he knew this book right here has a power that no other book on earth has. This book needs to be preached, brethren. And when men and women say, we'll go. When I say women, I mean with their husband, of course. We'll go and preach that book. Our family will go tell them about Jesus. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for them. We certainly need to also be a part. And I do not want to underemphasize. I would be remiss to say, well, you know, it's not that important that we support them. We need to pray for them, that their needs would be met. Well, pray for them that their needs would be met and then put some money in the plate. Amen. Amen. And I'm glad that you do that. So I wanted to talk with you here just prior to the missions revival about the importance of praying for missionaries. Do you pray for missionaries? I believe you do. And I thank God for a people that give to missionary work, that pray for missionaries. We hear it all the time, how that missionary families are encouraged from the emails and the communication back and forth from the families of Fellowship Baptist Church. Please pray. Would you do that? Let's stand to our feet. Pray for our missionary brethren. Paul said, pray for us.